Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, 35 years have passed since the fall of Saigon marked the end of the Vietnam War. This week, Operation Iraqi Freedom officially came to a close and moved the focus of military operations to the war in Afghanistan, a war which has been repeatedly compared to the conflict in Vietnam. But the spring of 1975 brought more than an end to the war. Prior to 74, very few Vietnamese, roughly 600, had arrived in the United States, but roughly 125,000 left Vietnam in the spring of 75 alone. Among them was Andrew Lam, who was just 11 years old when his family left for the United States. He is a journalist and author now, whose most recent work is a collection of essays, East Eats West, Writing in Two Hemispheres. He joins us now to talk about the cross-cultural exchange between the U.S. and Vietnam. Andrew, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, we open up the phones for anybody with a Vietnamese background, whether you're second generation or if you were part of the early wave of immigration in 1975 or if you have immigrated even much more recently. We want to hear about your experience. And what do you think is different about the Vietnamese immigration experience when compared to other immigrant groups? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Andrew, you go back to Vietnam quite frequently, I gather, although many others refuse to, including your father, who was a three-star general in the South Vietnamese Army. Talk about that difference. Is it simply generational, or is there an ideological divide within the Vietnamese community in the United States, regardless of age?
I think for my father, definitely is an ideological issue. He never would go back until there's a multi-party system and democracy in Vietnam. Whereas the younger generation, the 1.5 so-called generation, or those who were born in the United States, going to Vietnam is not as politically significant. Some of them actually want to improve Vietnam, but they interact with the local. Some have started NGOs or, you know, work in Vietnam, and they see as interaction spurring change, whereas the older generation, they hold a lot of grudges because of the historical vehemence between the two groups, you know, the North and the South. And for my father especially, going back is impossible, so he chooses to remain in exile.
The Vietnamese population in the United States is a relatively young one in immigration terms, either first or second generation. And I'm sure many of our listeners can empathize with how you describe telling your parents that you wanted to study creative writing. There's that historic tension between old world values and new definitions of success. But how does the Vietnamese immigrant experience differ from others in the United States, maybe because of the war?
You know, for many others, even looking at immigrant groups from Asia, many actually left as immigrants. Vietnamese left as refugees. We left en masse in a very particular date, 1975 in April. Hundreds of thousands, you know, fled out to sea. So the Vietnamese carry a kind of collective consciousness of that date, and a quarter of Saigon sort of took off and plopped itself really in Little Saigon in the United States and, you know, in San Jose and Orange County. So the cultural significance is that they brought along all this, status and memory that is very similar to Saigon and recreated very quickly from that sense of nostalgia. Other groups, like, say, the Koreans or the Chinese, may come to the United States individually as family, and they say goodbye to relatives, sell their houses. You know, Vietnamese, they fled as political groups, so they have a very very strong sense of history on their back. And this is why you see some of the biggest protests in the United States by Asians is carried out by Vietnamese, because of that historical vehemence against the communists of Vietnam.
And I know there are actually very few Vietnamese Americans in the New York area relative to California and a little bit elsewhere in the West. But listeners, if any of you are out there right now, our phones are open for Vietnamese Americans on the Vietnamese immigrant experience or being a second generation Vietnamese American. 212-433-WNYC. Maybe you'll want to elaborate on something that Andrew Lam said. How do you feel your experience is different from maybe your Chinese American or Korean American counterparts or anything else you want to say if you're there? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for the next 10 minutes or so. And we do have Roy in Harlem calling in, who is not Vietnamese, but has spent some time there coming from this country. And I think he has something really interesting to say. Roy, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you. Yes, my wife and I went to Vietnam in Ho Chi Minh City. That's interesting what Saigon has become. In 96, when she was studying acupuncture, and I also gave a recital there for American Vietnamese friendship at the conservatory. And the thing that was remarkable for us is the fact that not only is there hardly any animosity felt towards Americans, but a welcoming, open, inviting, forgiving presence that is really unbelievable after what we have done to them, with our Agent Orange and all that sort of stuff. We found it to be a very heartwarming experience.
And you are the pianist, Roy Eaton, right?
Yes, right. I'm a pianist, and I gave the recital there.
I don't know what kind of a program you did, whether it was straight classical, or I know you do some ragtime stuff and things like that, but did you find the audience understanding of the music or response to the music?
Yes, well, I also gave master classes at the conservatory, but the program that I gave actually was one that was dedicated to furthering a peaceful relationship. It was the meditative Chopin format that I've used in other places. And they were very receptive to it. In fact, they made it sort of a state occasion. They invited the diplomats and so on. It was quite a nice event.
That's really interesting. Andrew Lam, you want to talk to Roy about his experience of lack of hostility to the United States despite everything, including, we're talking 2 million Vietnamese died probably in that war.
Yeah, probably more. But I will say this. When I left Vietnam in 1975, the overall population of both North and South was around 30 to 35 million. 2010 now, you know what the population is? It's 85 million. So if you do the math, it's 2 out of 3 Vietnamese who have no direct memory of the Vietnam War. It's the same way if you ask a 19-year-old kid over here, what do you make of the Vietnam War? Do you have an animosity toward Vietnamese? And they would not know what to make of it, meaning that the amnesia had already settled in. So I think a lot of time because of many people from the older generation who come to Vietnam carry that memory of the war, and they kept worrying about how people would treat them. But in fact, it's a new country, a completely new country.
That's fascinating. Roy, any last thing to say?
Well, I also spoke to people who were older, who were in the experience of the war. And in fact, they have a museum there where they mentioned that the atrocities, really, that America did. But it all resolves in a feeling of that was then and this is now, and we have forgiveness. I know that here in the United States, there's still people who feel animosity towards the Japanese and the Germans. Well, that sort of thing did not exist then. I didn't find it at all.
Fascinating. Roy, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. And we continue with Andrew Lam, author of East Eats West, Writing in Two Hemispheres. And in 2007, you wrote about Iraqi refugees for New American Media. And I know that one of your essays is addressed to a young Iraqi refugee whose photograph you saw a picture of. You wrote, "We both found asylum in a country that had a direct hand in the chaos and bloodshed in our respective homelands. Iraq, it seems, is about to replace Vietnam in the American psyche as the reigning metaphor for tragedy." Talk a little more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I first came to the United States and I realized I had some kind of significance students in junior high because I had somehow descended from the television set they saw each night into their classroom, you know. So they were asking me questions about, did you see the VCs? Did you fly helicopter? Did you see napalm? Because the kids was, the Vietnam War was essentially the first television war. And, you know, American kids back then had a kind of idea or certainly mythology about Vietnam. And here was this kid that emerged from that TV set.
I want you to hold the rest of that thought for a minute because I want to get to Tung in Manhattan, who's been on hold and actually has to go in a minute. So I want him to have his say. Hi, Tung. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So you're you were a part of this. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I am an immigrant from Vietnam in 1975, as some other callers have also shared that experience. And I just wanted to call and say that, you know, being as Americanized as you could possibly be for an Asian American, and having revisited my homeland relatively recently for the first time, I found it really profound an experience to see firsthand what my prospects would have been, most likely, had I not had the opportunity to be educated here and this society, and the opportunities that were given to me would certainly not have been the same. And it was just a very telling, profound experience for me to experience that.
Do you think that experience and your place in things in general impacts how you look at domestic politics in the United States, domestic policy debates?
Absolutely, absolutely. I find that I'm more in tune and more aware of the state of the global economy and the global cultural status, and how we're becoming more connected now with the advent of technology and progression of technology. And certainly, I think that has definitely opened my eyes to being more conscious of how I can contribute, give back, be a contributor in the future. Absolutely.
Tung, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it, and good luck to you. Andrew Lamb, anything you want to react to about Tung's call? And you can go back to your rock story if you want.
Yeah, sure. Basically, I think that the Vietnamese-American population is playing a significant role in bringing Vietnam into the fold of the global world. And Vietnam received about $7 billion remittances from Vietnamese-Americans and other Vietnamese overseas. That is about $2 billion more than funds and charity given by the nation of the world. And so basically, the diaspora is really it's a significant force in changing Vietnam's economic and cultural life, and at some point, I believe, they'll probably change the political life as well.
J.D. in Williamsburg, you're another Vietnamese immigrant, also thinking about the parallels with Iraq?
Long-time listener, first-time caller, so super nervous. And Andrew, great to be on the air with you. I'm a big fan of your work.
Thanks.
it was just interesting at the point where you're discussing about the parallels between Iraq refugees and Vietnamese refugees, because it's kind of something that was on my mind during a few years ago during the war, and it actually led to me to discover more about my parents' own story, about what they went through. I'm first generation. My parents left on April 30th, 1975, part of the final airlift. And it was really and actually I turned their story into, I just finished the graphic novel about it. And it was really amazing to me, the parallels as far as like what they experienced versus what I was perceiving was happening in the news with the refugee crisis in Iraq. And despite the fact that it was in a completely different part of the world with a completely different culture and, several decades apart from each other. So
thank you very much. And Andrew, I gather that you've talked about how the Vietnamese refugees really had a champion in President Ford. But that Iraqi refugees don't have that, and as a result, very few have arrived in this country.
Yeah, I think there is a significant difference. Is that you know, at first the U.S. was not so receptive of the idea of having refugees from Vietnam, but Ford really helped push that legislative change. I don't know if there is a champion for Iraqi refugees, because at least it was pretty clear that we lost the Vietnam War, whereas during Bush administration, the message is that we're winning, you know. So how do you have refugees from a country in which we're winning and pacifying the enemies? Of course, you know, that's not reality, but certainly that was a policy, foreign policy of the United States. And now we're withdrawing from Iraq, and there will be a lot of bloodshed, I imagine, you know, a lot of revenge and so on, and those who work with the United States may be, you know, in harm's way. But yet, how do we have a kind of cohesive policy toward these people who have been allies to the United States? I don't know, because there's no champion that I can see as far as politics are concerned.
Andrew Lamb, he was 11 years old when his family left Vietnam for the United States. His most recent book is a collection of essays, East Eats West, Writing in Two Hemispheres. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.